Can you hear me? Okay. You need to talk like that. It's not hooked up.
He's not hooked up. He's got hearing aids.
Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's read verse 10 through 24. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But any if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any man hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every man, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called? Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now that's our scripture lesson tonight. The truth is, if you just believe what you read, there's nothing difficult about the lesson at all. This one tonight gets right next to people when you start dealing with a situation like we're talking about in the first part of this lesson tonight. It's very difficult, but the truth is truth. And what is the truth will set you free. And being free, just obey the Lord and do what He would have you do. Now, before I get into it tonight, I want us to bow our heads and pray. I forgot to ask you on Sunday to pray for my wife. She did leave Monday night, and she flew on a big airplane to Minneapolis and then to Jacksonville. And she is there basking in the 90-degree weather with the great-grandchildren and Lindsay and Jason. So she sent her greetings tonight. She had a nice, safe flight, and I'm happy for that and praise the Lord for that. I'm glad she could go. I think it'd be good for her. She'd be gone a couple of weeks. Pray for her while she's away. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to speak. Lord, we thank you for your word. That truly is a lamp under our feet and a light unto our path. And we pray tonight as we study this lesson that it not only be a help and a blessing to each one of us individually, but that we might be a strength and a help to others as we point them to your word concerning these two topics that are wound up in this chapter. Guide us, O Lord, and be glorified, we pray, in the service tonight. Bless those who could not come, and ask you to be near to them that are away working. Watch over them and comfort them. And bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the first 9 verses of the 7th chapter, Paul had spoke to the unmarried, and he had given them some instructions about marriage and wine and so on. So the first part of this was directed to people who were not married. Now he turns to those who are joined in marriage. And this is a good lesson. He says, to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not her husband put away his wife. This is not merely something Paul wanted to write, but this is what the pattern was from the very beginning of the creation. It's not a law of God's enacting, but it's what God had enjoined upon mankind from the very beginning in marriage. So, this is the will of God for married persons. If you marry, stay together. How long do you stay together? Then you die. Well, sometimes we stay together and it almost brings death. We hope and pray that you don't have a marriage relationship like that. We hope it's great and wonderful in your household. So we're called to stay together until we're dead. The wife is not to depart from the husband, as plain as it can be. And she should not, commanded not to. But if she does, for some reason that she feels is a compelling reason, she is unable to remain with him, and she departs, then the Lord commands that she stay unmarried. She's not to go marry someone else. So she's to remain unmarried. And if later on she feels the need to go back and be with her husband, it's good that they can be reconciled back together. Otherwise, let her remain unmarried. So, what's good for the woman is also good for the man. It's exactly the same in both cases. The man's not to put her away or force her out of the house. And I suppose if he did and he wanted to get straight, then that's the thing to do, is to repent and get back together. So that's plain enough. Verses 12 and 13 ought to be studied together. But to the rest speak I, and not the Lord. Now, what does he mean by that? In the Old Testament, we understand that marriage is for life. But there's no commandment about this particular thing that Paul's going to address here. It's not that it's not the Word of God, because he's being moved along by the Holy Spirit to write these things which had not up to this point been revealed. It's like writing about church truth. It's like writing about all of the church doctrines. They were not in the Old Testament. He had no commandment of the Lord for that. But the Holy Spirit moved him to write. And it's exactly the same here. The Holy Spirit's moving him to tell us what the will of the Lord is about a circumstance like this. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Now, there could be a number of reasons that this kind of thing happens. First of all, a couple of unbelievers marry. And somewhere along the road, the man becomes a believer. He becomes a child of God. And she doesn't. So he's unequally yoked. He's married to a person that is not a believer. And so, what do? You don't kick her out. If she's pleased and she desires to stay with him, then let him not put her away out of the house. It's just an important issue. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Exactly the same in converse. Exactly the same. So, sometimes there is an unequal yoke. Sometimes it happens later in the marriage relationship. And, of course, we're all aware of situations that are going on that are just like that. You have one who's a believer and the other one who is not. You know, I can hardly imagine living my life like that. It's hard enough when we're both on the same frequency. But when we're distorted and we have different goals and objects in mind for our life, it disturbs the whole household. And you can't fix it as long as that person is an unbeliever, because you can't converse with them about the Scriptures. You can't reason with them about thus saith the Lord, because they're not going to listen to you. I know a man I've been talking to for many years by email. He lives on a hill in North Carolina. This guy's a kind of a crass sort of person. He's kind of gruff and that. And I was talking to him one day, and I asked him if he was married. And he said, yes, he was married. And his wife was a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, he's a Primitive Baptist. And these are so far apart, I don't see how they can possibly ever have any kind of a spiritual relationship with one another. And this happens so many times in life. And you know what? Young people, listen, you never know. You never know. Sometimes you agree to marry a person, and the person says that he or she is one of the Lord's people. And along the way, maybe years later, the person says, I really not. I really wasn't. So you have this kind of a twist in the marriage relationship. And it does happen. Well, you know, it's good to seek out one that professes to know the Lord, and chances are it'll work out better. But it's not an ironclad thing. And this situation may come up. So, if a brother's married to an unbelieving wife and she wants to stay, then she ought to stay. Same thing with the sister. She should never leave the man. And verse 14 then tells us why, to some extent. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified, that means set apart, by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. And I'll just tell you right up front, I'm not really sure, even at this point in life, exactly what that last expression means. So don't pin me down to that and ask me to explain it all, because I can't. I don't know for sure. But we'll address it. Marriage is a divine institution. It's a compact for life by God's appointment. And so, that being the case, that it is ordained of God, even in a relationship where one is a believer and the other is not, the believer sets the other apart in the home because it's God's ordained thing for marriage. I want to make this plain now. Marriage is not something that was given to Christians. Marriage was given to man. It is not a, what do they call that? The Catholics call it something, a means of grace. They say that marriage is one of those things that helped you to find grace in the Lord. Well, I don't think it's any such thing, but it is a special relationship that the Lord has ordained. And one who is a believer in some way sets apart the other while they're in that relationship. Both of them become one flesh. And, of course, then the marriage relationship is holy. It's blessed of the Lord. And then it says, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. I've read everything I can read about this, and I just don't know exactly. It means what it says. But in what way and how, I don't know. I do know this. Parents don't save their children. And parents cannot be sure that their children are going to be saved. But there is something about the believer in the marriage that helps the relationship with the children. Otherwise, it says they're like the heathen. Now, verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Now, let's think about that a bit. A mate ought to use every means to preserve the marriage relationship. You know, you have to work at it, by the way. It doesn't just happen. You got to work at it. My wife was talking about that the other day. She said, the boys and the gals, they dress themselves all up and keep themselves neat and pretty, trying to catch the mate. And after they finally catch the mate, then they just let things go to pot, and they don't really care how they act or how they look. You have to work at marriage, I think. It's a blessed thing. And so, if it comes to the place to where the unbelieving in a marriage relationship departs, then the brother or sister is not under bondage. Now, what does that mean? When the unbelieving mate leaves and forsakes the marriage, then the one who's left behind has absolutely no obligation to that person concerning the duties of marriage. Well, no, we're talking about support. We're talking about union one with another. The person is not obligated in any way if that person leaves. Now, the Lord said that. I didn't say that. Are they free to marry again? I believe the Bible teaches that the only reason that a person is free to marry without committing adultery is death. I've seen that for years. Death is the only reason. And that does make it hard in a case like this where a person has a need. So I just have to leave it at that. It says the brother or sister is not under bondage. And that bondage has to be an obligation to that mate that has departed from the marriage relationship. They don't support them. They don't help them. They don't aid them in any way whatsoever. It's like they have given them up and forsaken them. Bad thing. I'd hate to see something like that. But that's what the Lord said. And why? God hath called us to peace. You know, sometimes in a marriage that has such turmoil like that, there is never, ever any peace. And when you don't have peace in a household, you want to just run away. You want to just go hide and find some place where it's quiet. I mean, the man or the woman does when there's nothing but turmoil and arguments and strife and all of those kinds of things. God hadn't called us to that. I mean, He's the God of peace. And so that's one reason I think that it's good that the person just lets this individual go if they choose to leave. I don't think you ought to get the whip to drive them out of the house, but if they choose to leave, then let them go. What else is there? Nothing else you can do about it, right? So, well, that's the rule in the Scripture for people that are married and in a relationship where one is saved, knows the Lord, serving the Lord, and the other is not. Verse 16 says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" None of us have any idea how God can use us as an instrument in the conversion of our mate. You know, sometimes years and years and years may go by, and then the Lord may change the heart of that person, and then things are just hunky-dory, so to speak, in the marriage relationship. Who knows when God will cause us to be the instrument that turns them around or turns them from the direction they're going. And that's what that's about. It's not that we actually grant salvation to the mate, because only God can do that. But we can be used as an instrument in conversion, in turning the person to go the right way. That's what that's about. Well, somebody said, just let me get a hold of that woman and I'll preach to her and tell her a thing or two. Well, that may not quite be the way to do it. And conversely, but who knows? Now the subject changes, I think. Some people say it doesn't, but I think it does. Verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Whatever God has given a man to do, when he calls him as one of his children, let's suppose he is a merchant. Let's suppose he's a shipbuilder. Let's suppose he's a soldier. Let's suppose he's a farmer. It doesn't matter what he is. Let him walk in that way after God's called him. That is, if it's an honest profession. Now, you and I both know that there are people that are in professions that are wicked, and the Lord saves them, and they have to give it up. Now, in that light, there's no such thing as a Christian liquor store, or a Christian dance hall, or that kind of thing, in spite of what people say. You know, they say there's Christian motorcycle clubs and all of that kind of stuff. Well, if a man is in a wicked and ungodly kind of thing, then he's obliged to turn away from it and find a new profession. But otherwise, he ought to stay where he was. It does not do anything to the faith of Christ for us to perform a duty that earns our bread if it's honest. And that's what we ought to do. And Paul said, so Lord, I ordain in all the churches. It's that way across the board with everybody all around the world. Now he uses some specifics. Verse 18 says, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Well, here's a case where a man might be a Jew and he had circumcision. And a lot of people have, because they know that the Gentile converts, that circumcision is nothing, and so they try to undo it. That's the Lord says, don't do that. Let him not be. Leave things as they are when you come to know the Lord in that respect. And why is that? Verse 19 says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. It's not the externals, it's what we do in following the Lord's commandments that's important in the perfect law of liberty. And so, verse 20 sums that up and says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. The same state and condition of life when he was converted to Christ, supposing it's an honest course of life. We do read in the book of Acts, I can't remember the chapter right now, but they were, I believe it was Ephesus, and the magicians, they brought the books of the black arts and they piled them up and they burnt them there in the square, got rid of them. Well, there's some things, brothers and sisters, that we ought not to do. And some of those things have to do with the occult and the black art. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about the occult? I'm talking about things like Ouija boards and horoscopes and all of these soothsayers and fortune tellers and all of that kind of stuff. Listen, that stuff is wicked. Leave it alone. If you have ever had a part in it, don't do it again. Turn away from that kind of thing, as they did. They burnt thousands of dollars worth of books that they had for the black arts because they had come to Christ. And that's a good thing to do. I had a dear friend who loved to drink liquor. And the Lord saved this guy back in Germany. And he went home and He poured all of the liquor out, and then he broke the bottles, because in Germany they would collect the bottles and fill them up again. So he broke them just to make sure that they didn't do that anymore. That's a good point. It's a good thing to do. Sometimes people say, well, I could take the books and sell them. I could take the liquor and sell it because I could turn it into money. That's blood money. We don't want that. We'd be better off not to have any money than we would to have that. So just get rid of it if it's wicked. So every man's to abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now verse 21 says, art thou called being a servant? Cast not, care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. Now, I don't think that Paul here is just talking about an employee. We are sometimes those that sell our time to someone else. How many of you have a job? Okay. Nobody has a job. Those of you that have a job, you're selling your time to your employer. But I think this is talking about more than that. It's talking about a person that was a slave back in those days. You know, I'm not an advocate of slavery, but I do want to tell you this, that the Bible does not condemn slavery that's regulated as the Bible regulates it. Now, to me, it's wrong when a people do what some of our forefathers done and went to a country and invaded a place and wrenched people away from their homes and put them on ships and took them away and subdued them in slavery. That's wrong, absolutely wrong. But here, these people were in servitude. They were in bondage. So Paul said, don't be troubled at it and uneasy with it. Don't be anxious to do something else. Like, bear the yoke patiently. Go through your servitude cheerfully. And serve your master faithfully. And don't look upon it as an objection to your being called and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that? Do we have an example of that in the Scripture? Oh, sure do. You remember Onesimus, that was converted with Paul in Rome and sent back to his master Philemon and submitted himself to him. He told him to do that. That he may have departed for a season, that he may become a brother forever. And he did. Sometimes the slaves in the days of slavery were Christian brothers with those who were their masters. Now he goes on to say, but if thou mayest be free, if there's a way that you can rightfully and honestly turn away from the situation you're in to be free, then you'd probably be better off for it, because you'd have more liberty to serve the Lord as one that was free from the yoke. Now verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. When we were called to salvation through the ministry of the Spirit and the Word, and though we may have been a servant, we become a free man. We're free from the bonds of sin. We're free from the curse of the law. We're free from the condemnation of the devil. And we're at liberty to walk in the Lord. Now that's freedom. Absolutely free. So, the Lord's free man. And on the other side, suppose the man is the master and he's saved. He becomes one who is duty-bound to serve the Lord as a servant, just like the man that was a slave. And why is that? We're no longer a servant to self and sin, but to the Lord to do His bidding and bring honor and glory to His name. So the man who is a master being free becomes Christ's servant in being called to Him. Verse 23, you're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. And what is that price? We all know the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot. Those who are called are washed in His blood and have been set free from death and will never be overcome by it. So He said, don't be the servants of men. Now how is that? We don't serve man, but we serve one another in love. And we don't serve the commandments and the whims of men in the Lord's churches. We follow His word and His commandments. So we're bought with a price, and we have that duty and obligation. Now, finally, he closes with this statement, verse 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. That is, abide in the civil calling and station of life, whatever it is that he happens to be in. You know, God knows what you're suited for. He knows what's best for you. He knows what He's made you for. And all of us have gifts along that line. That we're things that we're good at. Things that we can do better, perhaps, than other people can. And so the Lord knows that. And if it's honorable, there's nothing wrong with it. So much the more. Good thing. Praise the Lord. It's not right to get out from under something just because some man thinks, well, you ought to do something different. No way. So abide where the Lord has called you. I think it's a good point. I think the lesson is good. And I appreciated studying it, looking at it tonight. And I hope it's been helpful and a blessing to you. I know we're praying about some that are in a circumstance like we're talking about. So don't quit. Just keep praying. Keep praying about the matter. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Brother Craig and let him conduct.